welcome to Bay Presbyterian Church and our worship of the living God. We're so pleased that you can join us here this morning, even by way of live stream. You know, we've been live streaming for some time now, and many of you have joined us at some point in the past via live stream. Thank the Lord for Carl Hamm, who brought us into the 21st century, me kicking and screaming. None of us had ever anticipated that would come to this, and this new electronic age would help our church come together for such a time as this. To be perfectly honest, I am uncomfortable depending on electronics, but circumstances dictate that this is our best avenue, so welcome to the new normal. I want to make a couple of announcements, and you might want to get a pen and paper ready. The information to my right is information you may want to have going forward, and you can write that down. But I think the best communication that will come to you will be through our website. Thank you, Dan Nelson. And our website address is baypresbonita.org. That's baypresbonita.org. And that will be an ongoing and consistent avenue of communication for us. And we'll also post some things to our blog. The address on the computer for our blog is baypressblog.wordpress.com. That is baypressblog.wordpress. One word, wordpress.com. And those will be two effective ways that you can keep up to what's happening at the church, what we're looking forward to down the road, and you can kind of stay in touch with us. We're going to have somebody on the church phones during our normal weekday, from 10 till 3, Monday through Friday. And we're going to do this as long as we're able, as long as we're allowed to get out in the streets and report for work. We're going to have somebody here all the time to man the phones. And the phone number that you would use is our regular church phone number, 239-498-9055. And you can get that also off of our website. If we can pick up groceries or help you out, then you could contact your care team leader. If they haven't already contacted you, then they likely will this week. And if you don't hear by Friday from somebody, then there's been an oversight. And please text me so that we can correct this. My text number is 239-280-8407. And let me tell you this right now, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to make some mistakes along the way, but we will be always improving, and we can use your help along the way. Call the church office if you would like an invite to a Zoom prayer group or an invitation to the Zoom Thursday night Bible study that I lead. Check the church website periodically because there'll be some video devotions, there'll be some video updates and announcements, as well as some text announcements and videos. Now, I thought that we might be able to reconvene on Easter Sunday. That's now in doubt. I would suggest that you consult the website for updates along the way. God bless you and keep you healthy through this troubling time. And now, let's take a few moments to prepare our hearts for worship. Gordon? The call to worship today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And you know, in times of uncertainty, it's important for us to remember from whence we came and who it is that holds all things together. The Apostle Paul tells the Colossian church in Colossians 1:15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So let us be called to worship today with a prayer of David that he prayed during a time of dangerous uncertainty for the people of Israel. It comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, and everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Would you pray with me? Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship, that we could come into your presence, even in this fashion, and that your people could be collected electronically, and that we can worship you together. God, we pray that you would bless us this morning as we hear your word preached, as we sing in a little bit, and as we give to you the awe, the majesty, the beauty that's due to your name. God, bless us as we worship together. And God, when we are concluded today, our prayer is that we will say, "Today we have been in the presence of Almighty God." Hear us, O God. We make our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who lived and died and rose again, and who, while on this earth, taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Well, good morning, and let me add my welcome to those of you that are worshiping with us through live stream. This is certainly a unique experience for all of us, and we trust that God will bless our time together. Over my years of ministry, I have had a few people that said I had the voice for radio, and a goodly number of people who have said I had the perfect face for radio, but I'm not so sure whether I'm suited for live stream. I guess we'll find out today. Will you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight as we worship you together through your word today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I was all prepared for this sermon a week or so ago, and it was going to be what I thought would be a much-needed distraction for each of you from all the information you've received about the coronavirus. You've heard from all the experts repeatedly. You've heard from all the politicians trying to sound like experts. You didn't need to hear from me and get my take on the coronavirus pandemic. So I prepared a sermon entitled, Apprehending the Bonita Bandit. It was a rather clever discussion of something other than the coronavirus. I thought you needed and would appreciate a brief distraction. But after further review, I concluded that I was both right and wrong. I was right. You do need a distraction from all the statistics, predictions, warnings, fears, and pessimism that has been your diet recently. But I was wrong. You don't need me to be clever and distract you from the situation that surrounds you. You need me to be what God has called me to be, an instrument in His hand to speak His truth to His people. So my goal today is merely this, to let you hear God's voice. We've heard from almost everyone else. Let's take just a break. Let's turn off the news channels, and let's listen to what God declares to us in His Word. So, with minimal personal commentary, I will let the living and abiding Word of God speak to your anxious hearts and concerned minds. I will trust that His Word, without the aid of my profound interpretation and application, will not return unto Him void, but will accomplish the purposes for which He sends it. By listening to God's Word today, I hope we will be reminded of the character of the God we worship. I hope we will be humbled by the purposes of God and the power of God to fulfill those purposes. I hope we will be strengthened by the commitment of God to be present among us at this time. And I hope that we will all experience the peace of God as we travel through these uncharted waters. So without further delay, let's listen to the voice of God, the God of biblical hope. This is clear from the beginning of Genesis, where after the miracle of creation and the tragedy of the fall, God offers words of hope. You know, in this Bible of mine, there are 1,328 pages of biblical truth. 1,328. Two of those pages describe the creation. Two of those pages describe the fall. And 1,324 of those pages describe God's redemptive plan. And that's what we want to review this morning. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, God declared in the curse upon the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now at street level, God is saying in that text, the world I created is broken, but I will fix it. Now how does he do that? In Genesis 17, we hear the promise of God. "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." These words spoken to Abram are words of hope. God is saying, "I will initiate a relationship with my people based upon grace." And this becomes the promise that God fulfills and that God's people celebrate from generation to generation to generation. Listen to the celebration of this truth in Psalm 111. "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name." We see God's covenant faithfulness displayed as he delivers his people from slavery in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 6, God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. God would repeatedly remind his people of his covenant faithfulness. And on one occasion in the book of Deuteronomy he says, For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you are more in number than any other people that the Lord has set his love upon you and chosen you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that's that covenant faithfulness, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Later, God would assure his people of his covenant faithfulness in Joshua chapter 1. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What appropriate words for a time such as ours. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's how God's people are called to walk, by faith and by trust in the presence of their covenant-keeping God. That's the spirit of David who writes, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The sons of Korah expressed that same confidence when in Psalm 46 they write, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Eventually, God would raise up prophets to encourage his people to lift their hearts and lift their eyes and walk by faith. With words such as these, Isaiah 40, To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created all these? Who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name? By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Furthermore, Isaiah writes, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." Even in the worst of times, God does not forget his promises nor forsake his people. As the Israelites were about to go into Babylon, into exile, God speaks through Jeremiah and says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Certainly there are times when our hearts ache and doubts surface. The minor prophet Habakkuk expresses some of the feelings that are common to us in these days. He says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you look idly at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. The law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One?" God will answer Habakkuk by calling him to walk by faith. And God will continue to give words of hope through those prophets, even to the end of the Old Testament, which concludes with these words from Malachi: "From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." Somehow, some way, God wins. His name will be great among the nations. So God's creation and God's people experience the brokenness of that original fall, but they are not void of hope. Paul writes, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." And not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. There is an anticipation. There is a groaning for the fulfillment of God's covenant promises, for the achievement of God's perfect will. And finally, God's hope bursts forth. One starry night, as angels sing of good news, of great joy, Paul says in Galatians, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Just as those prophets had declared, The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. In the birth of Jesus, God is remembering his covenant promises and providing redemption for guilty sinners in the most extraordinary way. John would describe it like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the living, eternal Word, would say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus would one night assure Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He would repeatedly comfort his confused disciples with words like these: let not your hearts be troubled. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He would point his disciples to the compassion and devotion and care of his heavenly Father, saying, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We must all admit that it is so easy to forget the benefits of our salvation, so easy to be distracted by life circumstances, especially in times like this. Let's remember and reflect upon what's true for us. What's true for us through the gospel, through the fulfillment of God's covenant promises. Romans is a wonderful source for those truths. Chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And then those classic words from the end of Romans 8. And we know for all who love God, God works all things together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What's Paul saying? He remembers his covenant forever from start to finish. And he responds, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including the coronavirus, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you are a believer in Jesus today, you can say with the Apostle Paul, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we even know that if this tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And you can say with the Apostle Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus today, you can rejoice with the Apostle John, who wrote, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. God's eternal covenant, expressed so many, many years and generations ago, will be kept and will be fulfilled. And the book of Revelation reminds us that the rest of the story has been written by the hand of God. In Revelation chapter 21, John says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Don't you hear the echo of Abraham's covenant in those words? And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Until that day, may we never doubt that our risen Lord Jesus reigns. On the day of Pentecost, Peter proclaimed the truth about Jesus in Acts chapter 2. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The writer of Hebrews would then proclaim that we are to walk, to live by faith, in the faithfulness of our covenant-keeping God. He begins the book saying, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the one we trust. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember Habakkuk, the complaining Habakkuk. He exchanged his panic for God's peace. And his short prophecy closes in these words of praise. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, if things get as bad as it can possibly be, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. The psalmist also rested in God's truth despite his troubling circumstances and attitudes, despite his doubts and difficulties. Asaph returns to proclaim God's mercy and claim God's promises. Psalm 73. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Our confidence in troubling times does not come from the world around us or our emotions within us, but in the God who loves us and keeps his covenant of love toward us. Even in his lament, Jeremiah remembers, "This I call to mind. Therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never changes. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." May the Prince of Peace grant you his grace and peace today as you rest in him. If you do not know this Jesus, I invite you, I urge you to acknowledge your need and to confess your sins, to ask Jesus to forgive the guilt of your heart, and grant you the peace and the hope that is found only in him. And to those of you who do know the Lord, I hope we will be reminded today of the character of the God we worship, that we would be humbled by the purposes of God and the power of God to fulfill those purposes, that we might be strengthened by the commitment of God to be present among us at this time, and that you would sense the peace of God as you travel through these uncharted waters with your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your living and abiding word, the eternal word which does not change, that it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And simply through the reading and the hearing of these promises of yours, we can sketch your faithful promises and your powerful fulfillments through all of Scripture, to know that in times like this, we are not without hope. We have courage and we have strength, not in ourselves, but in your promises and in your presence. May you grant your people peace, and may you draw those who are unsaved to to the Lord Jesus Christ, that in these times of desperation, they may know a peace that passes all understanding. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now would you join, and please stand right where you are. Stand with me as we sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness. If you'd like a compilation of the scriptures that Pastor Billy read for us, you'll find those on the blog, baypressblog.wordpress.com, baypressblog.wordpress.com. And we hope to see you next week again. We'll be live streaming next Sunday at 9:20. Please join us for that. And now will you receive God's benediction. For it is now unto Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling. It's now unto Jesus, who is able to present you before his glorious presence, spotless and with great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, majesty, and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.